Good evening. It's encouraging to see you all here this evening. Desire and interest in your prayers. I have a message to deliver, but I don't feel like it's my message. It's a message that I feel very inspired that the Lord would have me deliver on His behalf tonight. And it is very much a search me type message. I've written on the board a question. It says, "What is your name?" And I'd like to start with this, that we sang a couple of songs tonight, and one of them spoke of a fountain deep. Another one spoke of a wonderful river. And I am so encouraged tonight to know that I have a place at the river of life. And that whether I'm there or not, God has reserved a place for me that no one else can take.
That's right.
It has my name on it. It has my birth date, social security number, if you'll allow me. And that fountain that's deep is a deep enough fountain that the Lord, if I will, He wants to give me part of that so that it comes out from my insides in a wonderful way.
Yes.
And the hope of the gospel is that wherever we are, the Lord continues to call our name.
Yes.
He would like to give us a new name sometimes. He would like our name to mean different things than perhaps it does today. So this evening I desire an interest in your prayers and your attention. How many times have you met someone, maybe for the first time, and you meet and you say, "Hello, my name's Rod Smith. What is your name?" And they say, "Well, my name's Ed Wilson." "Well, it's nice to meet you." Do you know that the name Ed Wilson, if that's the first time I've ever met Ed Wilson, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just a name.
Yes.
It's a sound that comes out from letters. And that's it. Now, it might sound more pleasant than something else. It might be appealing to me, or it might not. I like the name Ed Wilson. But there comes a time when your name represents everything about you. It becomes your identity, if you will. It represents your identity. Because it could go like this. "I don't believe I know you. My name's Rod Smith. And what's your name?" "My name's Ed Wilson. And by the way, I've heard a whole lot about you." Not so much the pronunciation of my name, but who I am. And it might cause you to say, "Well, what exactly have you heard about me? Is it good? Was it bad?" Jesus' name means more than the pronunciation of Jesus. The name of Jesus speaks of hope and love and sacrifice that was unnecessary, that He didn't have to do, but He did it for us. The name of Jesus represents hope where there is no hope. But you know that your name means something too. What does your name mean? Sometimes we fixate too much on what other people say that our name means. What does Jesus say that your name means? What is your name to Jesus? I was thinking where the Lord spoke to a Pharisee one time, and he looked at the person and he said, outwardly, you're as a whited sepulcher, but inwardly, you're as dead men's bones. And that's what your name means. But there was another time he saw a man named Nathanael. And the first time that he saw him, he looked at him and he said, there, right there, is an Israelite with whom is within is no guile. Our name means something. And it's pretty important, I think, to know what Jesus thinks about my name. Last year at this meeting, had a message titled, "That is my name." Not "What is your name?" but preached a message on "That is my name." And it was that we get to the place where we are willing to acknowledge and be honest about who we are, so that the Lord can help us grow. But sometimes I found that it takes us a long time sometimes to recognize who we really are and what our name is. At least I'll raise my hand to that. And I also think sometimes that we carry loads and associate things with our name that this enemy of our soul tries to give us. That's not our name. And if we're not careful, we can take on that name. You're worthless. You don't amount to anything. You're a failure. You'll never have peace. Just deal with it. That's your name. And I think sometimes we take on those things that aren't ours to take on. But then there's other times where it is our name, it is who we are, and somehow we don't recognize it. Everyone else might recognize it, but you might not recognize it. It's kind of like if I was in a room and filled with people, and somebody was standing in the front and said, "Is there a Rod Smith in here this evening?" And I, being Rod Smith, look around to see if there's a Rod Smith in the building. And since nobody raises their hand and gets up, I think, well, I guess Rod Smith isn't here tonight. And I'm Rod Smith. And I think sometimes the Lord would like for us to more quickly understand who we are.
Yes.
Because He has good things for us. And sometimes it takes us recognizing who we are first, so that we can say, "Ah, that is my name." But the message tonight is, what is your name? In 2 John verse 8, it says, "Look to yourself." It didn't say look on others. But it said, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought or gained." Look unto yourselves, lest at any time you lose that which you have gained. But that we receive a full reward. And it's so easy in life, it is for me. We can lose focus so quickly about what matters in life. We can become so distracted so quickly with everything else that's out there. Kind of like the man that came and it said he beheld himself in a glass and he saw himself. But then it said that when he went out, he forgot what manner of man he was. Just that quick.
Yes.
He looked in the mirror and said, "That's my name. That's me. There's something wrong right there. There's something on my face that it's needs to be taken off." But then he goes out the door and straightway forgets that he has something that he needs to take care of. And we can become so distracted with so many things around us that in the end aren't really going to matter, that we lose sight of our name. And I think sometimes too, and this is brought out in the Word of God in multiple places, that we as people can be too taken with spending our time evaluating and judging other people. Why do we do that as humans? So ready to judge other people, oftentimes in things negative versus things positive, and lose sight of the one that's doing the judging. It's kind of like looking for your own glasses when you have your glasses on. Where are my glasses? Where? They must be anywhere, somewhere, except on me. And yet, there they are. I don't want to lose sight of my identity. I don't want to focus so much of my time on things that aren't going to matter in the end, or things that maybe don't pertain to me so much, or things that cloud me coming to the place where I recognize who I am like Jesus wants me to recognize who I am. Because if that happens, then when the word of the Lord comes out and the word of the Lord is preached, or the Lord comes by and he knocks on your heart's door, can go right past us. We think that's a good message for so-and-so. I hope they heard it. That is exactly what they needed. Or when the Lord's knocking on my heart's door, I just don't hear it. There's a term that's used sometimes. It's called having a healthy sense of awareness. Sometimes people lose their sense of awareness of who they are. And the Lord wants us to have a sense of awareness who we are. Otherwise, we're at risk of losing, as this scripture says, the things that were ours to have. I'd like to turn now to the 19th chapter of Luke. And this is a story of a man with an identity, with a name that had an identity. And it goes something like this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And I'd like to notice, before we pass by it too quickly, because we're in revival meeting, this verse says, and Jesus entered, and he passed through Jericho to go out. He came into Jericho, and he passed through Jericho, and he went out of Jericho. Jesus passes by our way on his timing. It wasn't up to Zacchaeus when he passed through Jericho. And the Lord passes by our way in his mercy and in his timing. And there's going to come a time when the Lord no longer passes my way. And so when he passes my way, that is my opportunity.
That's right.
To see Jesus.
That's right.
To be touched by the hand of the Master.
Amen.
This is revival. This is a time that we set apart to give some focused time to the Word of the Lord and ask God in heaven to, Lord, would you pass our way? Would you deal with my heart? Because I want to be found in peace. Because, Lord, I know that there's going to come a day at midnight, perhaps when I don't expect it, that you're going to come back. You're going to call my name. And my name's going to mean something. And I'm not going to have any more opportunity to change what my name means. And I want to be ready. And so he passed through Jericho. May God help us in this meeting to take advantage of when Jesus passes by. And it said that there was a man named Zacchaeus. But it didn't end there. It didn't just say he passed through Jericho and there was a man named Zacchaeus and they went on his way. He began to describe what the name meant. In a way, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among publicans. You know what a publican is? A publican was a Jewish tax collector that didn't work for the Jews, they worked for the Romans. Do you think the Jews were very happy with publicans most of the time? No. They weren't very popular. It was almost like they turned on their own people. That's how they were viewed. And went and worked for the Romans to turn around and take money from their own people. And this verse is describing who Zacchaeus was. There was a man named Zacchaeus. And this is who Zacchaeus was. He was a publican. He was a Jewish tax collector. And he was chief among the publicans. I don't exactly know what that means. Maybe a publican on steroids. A publican that was a real tax collector that really was viewed highly among the rest of the publicans, which maybe didn't mean very well for the Jewish people. Because you know what else is said about Zacchaeus? It said he was rich. Do you know what else the publicans did? Brother Eric, your taxes are... The Romans say that you owe $5. Brother Eric, the Romans say you owe $7 of taxes. And Eric doesn't want to get in trouble, and so he gives the publican $7, and $2 goes in the publican's pocket, and the $5 goes to the Romans. So he was rich.
Yes.
And it began to identify who Zacchaeus was. Hey, have you heard? Did you see Zacchaeus the other day? Yeah, I saw Zacchaeus. I know exactly who you're talking about. He saw him yesterday. No more need be said. Not because of the way the name Zacchaeus sounds. It was because Zacchaeus was chief among publicans and he was rich. And And it also meant a whole lot of other things. It wasn't very pleasant. But there was something else about Zacchaeus that his name began to become defined by. Because it said that he had a desire to see Jesus. But not only did Zacchaeus have a desire to see Jesus, but Zacchaeus was willing to do something about it. What is your name tonight? Do you want to see Jesus? Are you willing to do something about it? So many people say they want to see Jesus, but then they rush through life as if they don't want to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? What does your name mean? What is your name? How would it be described in the context of whether or not you wanted to see Jesus and what you were willing to do about it? This man climbed a tree. He didn't have to. Zacchaeus, he could have accepted the circumstances that, you know what, there's a lot of people. I did. I tried. I came where I thought Jesus was going to pass by. I went to church. I went to the revival. I was there. But I might have been able to see him, but the pews were so crowded. I wasn't able to get to Jesus. And so I went home the same way that I came. Maybe partially disappointed and maybe partially relieved. I wanted to see Jesus. I feel a need in my heart. There's something in my life that's missing. My name is Zacchaeus. And it means things that I don't want it to mean. So he's disappointed. But he might have been relieved because no change is required. And we can become so comfortable with no change. The status quo. I'm still Zacchaeus. I'm still rich. I still have a lifestyle that I can live. I'll still be viewed as somebody with power. You know, there's always seems like there's reasons, good reasons, we think, to go home the same way that we came. May God help us to be willing to climb a tree if we have to climb a tree. If you have to make your way out of a crowded pew to come pray to Jesus, climb a tree and make your way out of a crowded pew. If you have to go through the roof, because the easiest way in through the door to see Jesus is plugged with people. And you could say, I tried, I came, I did what I could, but I guess it's just not supposed to be. I guess I'll just go back home. And yet all the time, the Lord's in the house seeing that you're out there approaching the door saying, come on, don't let the door stop you. Don't let the press stop you. Don't go back home just because it looks like you can't see me through the door. He's watching. Don't. I see I'm dealing with your heart. I see you. Don't let the crowded pews stop you from coming to see me. I know you. There's a tree over there. Climb a tree if you have to. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. He's not oblivious to your state. He's not oblivious to your condition. He's not oblivious to your need. He knows what your name is. And he wants to do something special for you. And these sorts of things become part of the identity of who we are as a person and what our name means. What is your name? My name's Rod. Oh, yes. You're the one that always says you want to see Jesus, but it seems like you're never willing to do what it takes. Oh, yes. You're the one that has just given yourself to temporal things in life, and that's where your love is, but you profess that your treasures are in heaven. And on and on and on. Our name to Jesus, when he looks at us, he knows whether or not we are one of the ones that will push through the press to touch Jesus. He knows if we're more talk than we are do. He knows the state of our heart. And Jesus in love comes by our way multiple times. He passes through your house. He passes through your mind and your heart, and he knocks. And he wants so much to see one that is willing to do whatever it takes.
That's right.
To make contact with Jesus.
Yes.
It gets close, doesn't it?
Yes.
It gets close. Let's read verse 5 and 6. See what happened. So Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and he said, I don't care. This is me talking. He said, I don't care if I'm viewed as somebody that's supposed to be rich and have authority and somebody. And I know people are going to pass by and tomorrow they're going to say, did you see Zacchaeus? The guy was up in a tree and his robe was caught on the branch and it was snagged and it wasn't where it was supposed to. And there's twig in his hair up there and he just looked so funny. Did you see Zacchaeus yesterday? It just didn't seem to befit his position. But he was there. He was there up in the tree. He did whatever it took because he came to the place where he recognized nothing matters as much as it is to see Jesus. What will a man give in exchange? What would a man profit if he gained the whole world but lost his soul? Nothing's worth it. And Zacchaeus came to the place where he said, I'm climbing a tree because I want to see Jesus more than anything else. And you know who noticed that Zacchaeus climbed a tree? Jesus! Thank God! When you climb a tree, Jesus sees you there. When you're in your private prayer closet at home and you feel like you're climbing a tree before God, you're opening yourself up. And you're pleading your case and you're being honest with yourself and you're asking and begging God for forgiveness and you're saying things you were never comfortable to say before and you feel like you're getting outside of your comfort zone. Jesus sees you and he hears you and he cares and he stops.
Yes,
amen. Yes, amen. And when Jesus came to the place, he's walking along and there's all kinds of people and crowds around him. It's kind of like when somebody touched him, you know, and everyone's touching Jesus. And then Jesus stops and he said, well, who touched me? And they said, who touched you? What are you talking about? Jesus is walking along with so many other things that he could have paid attention to. But all of a sudden he stopped. He's like, what are you stopping for? Because there's a man in a tree. A man in a tree. We passed a lot of people up in trees back along this same road. There's been people all along this road up in the tree trying to get a glimpse of you. What's so special about this? Because there's a man named Zacchaeus, and I know his name, and he's up in that tree right there, and I'm going to his house today. And so he stopped and he looked up. And he said, did he say, sir, what's your name? No. He called him by his name. Zacchaeus. Whoa, he knows my name. I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. And he passes by in love. And not in judgment. He passes by offering the water of life.
Yes.
Our part is to come to the banks and step in. Our part? Climb a tree if you have to climb a tree. Go through the roof if you have to go through the roof. Be viewed as odd if you have to be viewed as odd. If you want to see Jesus, do whatever it takes. And he looked up and he saw him and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Isn't not tomorrow, not next year. Hey, I see you up there. I'll catch you maybe next time through Jericho. No, that was the accepted time. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down because today I'm going to go to your house. Yes. Thank God. And he made haste. And he came down. And that began to define Zacchaeus' name. He was a man. Yes, he was a publican. Yes, he was rich. Yes, he had things in his background that he wasn't proud of and that could keep him out of heaven. But he also became the man, Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Jesus, was willing to do something about it, heard Jesus call his name, made haste, came down, and took Jesus to his house, even though he was a chief among publicans and rich.
That's right.
And had gotten it dishonestly. He didn't say, well, you know what? Maybe next time he comes through, maybe by that time I'll have everything. My house will be in order and I'll be more ready to bring. No, he came down and didn't it say, yes, he received him joyfully. He was still chief of the publicans. He was a sinner, but he received Jesus joyfully and he made haste. And that has become integral to what the name Zacchaeus means. What does your name mean? Don't you want that to be what your name means too? That you're willing to climb a tree, that you're willing to make haste, that you're willing to come down today without all the reasons and all the excuses and all the more convenient seasons, that it could be somewhere else out in the future. Jesus said, today I'm going to go to your house, Zacchaeus, and it would be really nice if you were there when I got there. Because I'd rather not be to your house and have an empty house. Because I have something special for you. And Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And he came down. And he made haste. And so should we. And we find that Zacchaeus was willing for his identity to change by the grace of God. His name began to mean something else. Listen to verse 8 and 9. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Did you notice that the Lord didn't say, Zacchaeus, I'm here at your house and I want you to know that I have an accounting here. And you are not just chief of publicans, but you are chief of sinners, my friend. You are in bad shape. And I am come here to bring condemnation to this house. You owe this much money with interest. Is that what happened? No. Jesus passed his way with love. He said, I'd like to come to your house. Zacchaeus, I'd like to come to your house today. Make haste. Come down. And Zacchaeus felt the love of Jesus Christ, which is the love that we as Christians should show other people that we feel like are without. And he went to his house, and Jesus met him at his house. And without Jesus having to go through and say, now, for you to be saved, you're going to need to do, well, there's a long list, as a matter of fact. You're going to need to do this and this and this and this. You got a lot of time, Zacchaeus, because we're going to be up all night. I've got a long list of everything before you are qualified to have your name changed. You have another whiteboard. because this is going to go on a long time. Nope. Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house. He looked into the heart of Zacchaeus, and he saw a heart that was crying out for forgiveness, crying out for Jesus. And Zacchaeus, all on his own, said, Lord, I'm going to make right what I did wrong. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this over here. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I'm going to restore it.
Amen.
Jesus, he didn't say, well, you know, Zacchaeus, I think you ought to give just a little bit more. He looked at his heart and he saw where his heart was, and he accepted his heartfelt repentance. And if there was anything else that was going to need to be done later in life, Zacchaeus was in the place where he was willing to do it. Jesus was willing to give him the space to learn what he needed to do differently. And in the meantime, they were going to get to go down the road together, and Zacchaeus was going to have a new name.
Amen.
Thank God. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. As he also, listen, is now the son of Abraham.
Yes.
Your name has now a new meaning.
Yes.
Zacchaeus now means that you are a son of Abraham, meaning you are now a son of God.
That's right.
Yes. And all this business about being rich through stealing and being chief among the publicans, where perhaps there was some dishonesty and pride and taking advantage of other people, all of that was gone. And he had a new name. And tonight, the Lord wants us, this evening, and throughout the course of this meeting, he wants us to be willing to do whatever is necessary to touch Jesus, and to allow him to come into your house.
That's right.
Unfettered. Throw the door open with joy. He brings peace. He has not come to the world to bring condemnation. He came so that the unrighteous could have a new name and become righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. But by the grace of God, this was a happy man that day. Zacchaeus was one of the happiest chief publicans that you ever saw. And he made a lot of happy people the next day. Sir, I believe we have some business to do. Yeah, Zacchaeus, I saw you in a tree yesterday. Are you okay? I am perfectly fine. Here, I believe I owe you some money. What? And Zacchaeus was happy. And he was a positive influence on people, being a representative of Jesus Christ. Which is what Jesus Christ is offering us to do tonight. As Christians. That we be willing to come and allow the Lord to come into our lives and fill us with the love of God. That we might also go out into a world of hurting people that are in need like Zacchaeus and show the love of Jesus Christ, that they too might experience a fountain deep. Throughout the course of this meeting, if the Lord spares time to us, and if he deals with your heart, perhaps tonight, perhaps he passes by your way at another evening. It represents the right time.
Yes.
It's the right time.
Amen.
To make haste. And to come down. And to allow Jesus Christ to abide at your house. That he might impart unto you the fullness of joy and happiness that only comes through Jesus Christ. What is your name tonight? Folks, in the end, When the Lord comes, as we mentioned at the beginning of the service, beginning of the message, and He calls my name. Yes, I know that in the past, my name has represented things that I'm not proud of. That does not have to be what your name means.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. When the Lord calls your name the final time. Every one of us here tonight, if we are willing, can make haste and allow Jesus into our house so that when He comes back and knocks on our door to receive us to eternity to be judged, Jesus Christ will stand by our side and tell the Father, "This is one of mine."
Amen.
That is what His name means to me. He's one of mine. Father, let Him in. And we can hear those words. Regardless of the sins that have been in your background, Jesus Christ has shed His blood that they can be forgiven and wiped away and forgotten, that our name takes on a new identity. Oh, tonight, let's not go away with a need unmet. Let's not let the meeting pass us by without, if necessary, climbing a tree, going through the roof, finding your way through a crowded pew, praying at your seat, perhaps praying in the back. The Lord wants to meet us.
That's right.
Let's listen for the sound and the call of His voice. He won't disappoint. Amen.